Okay, we'll get started. The shir should be a schus refuah shleima of my mother, Shulamis bas Sara Sasha. The first question to ask is, you know, why does Yom Kippur start with Kol Nidrei? Hatoras Nedarim. Why? Yes, communal absolution of the vows. Kesher. Yeah, everyone should have taken care of that on their own. Before Yom Kippur, you don't want to go into Yom Kippur having any vows that you haven't fulfilled. Right? I get it, but make it communal. It's got to be connected somehow to the essence of Yom Kippur. Right? That's one question to contemplate. Now we're in this very special year now. We're in a leap year. There's a Rosh Hashanah ushered in 5779, which is a leap year now. The Rosh Chodesh service gets swallowed up in the Rosh Hashanah service. It doesn't get much attention, but you're going to see from Musaf of Rosh Chodesh of Cheshvan and onwards, there's going to be an addition in the Shemar Esrei, Ula Kaporas Pesha. Add those two words. Kapora for evil doing. That's what we add for leap years. Why? And that addition is only until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we stop. So it's from Cheshvan through Adar Sheni, and then we drop it. That special edition is only for the first 6 months. That's something about the leap year that has to do with Kapora more than a regular year. So now there's an interesting Vilna Gaon that points out that on the average, every third year is a leap year. So this is what he says, right? Three sets of Aseres Yemei Tshuva make up the 30 days of Adar Sheni. That's what he says. That's why every third year, where do the 30 days of Adar Sheni come from? 30 days of Adar Sheni comes from three sets of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So I need to understand that that's integrally linked to the idea of Tshuva, the fact that there's a leap year. It's built out of three sets of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Right? So to understand a little bit, and which also shed light on what the avoda is, generally speaking, also. But Adam Rishon in the Garden of Eden. So we know that we learned to Derech Hashem that after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, so then the Eitz Hara came, inside of him, right, and the whole world got contaminated, and that's what we're working very hard to. Undo, all the necessity of all the generations between now and until Mashiach comes is really to the necessity of having so many people being born and being put to test is to all undo, what was done then. Otherwise, as we learned to Derech Hashem, if he would have not succumbed, right, so in would come Shabbos, which would bring in Olam Haba, and a certain amount of people would have been born to be the minimal population of Olam Haba, and that would be it. And that's what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah. Amazing thing. Bo nachzik tov al avosenu shil mole chotu anu kamish lo ban olam. We should be grateful for our forefathers for having sin, because who knows if we would have ever been born. It's interesting. I guess you're looking at the b'makom shabali tshuva omdim. That maybe so many people wouldn't have been necessary, but if we could turn it for the good and then cause it to be that the population in Olam Haba will be even bigger than originally intended, if we turn the situation on its head. All right, so, but the thing is like this. It's a very interesting thing to note in the Kavona to be Mechavin, when we say the Bracha in Shmona Esrei, that Melech Mochel La'avroseinu is in every single Shmona Esrei. It's a very important kavana to have in mind. Melech Mochel La'avroseinu, La'avonos Amo Beso, Umavir Ashmoseinu B'chol Shana V'shana. He forgives us our sins, forgives the sins of our forefathers. That's what's Mavir Ashmoseinu B'chol Shana, and our Asham, our guilt, he passes every year and year. Says the Ramchal in his Sefer HaKavonis, he has a book of Kavonis HaTfila, Mavir Ashmoseinu B'chol Shana. Shana refers to Chet Adam Rishon. Every year on Yom Kippur, a little bit of it is washed away. That's what that line means. It's referring to Chet Adam Rishon, that Mavi Ashposer B'chol Sharm Shor. Every year, a little bit of Chet Adam Rishon is washed away. So our personal sins, and sins of the world, the line before, and this is the cosmic, that Mavi Ashposer B'chol Sharm V'shona, is that every year, a little bit of Chet Adam Rishon is, you know, washed away.
That's and our own sins.
That's in the line before. Mavio mocholat malseinu lavonos amo beisrael. We talk about forgive us to our fault. Then there's something else. Mavir ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana.
So it takes years to wash.
You know, it happens on a yearly basis. Every Yom Kippur is another landmark of washing away some of the chet of Adam Rishon. You know, the contamination. That's what that line means. Mavi Ashposer B'chol Shana V'Shana refers to how the world needs fixing, you know, for the Chet Adam Rishon. Every year on Yom Kippur, a little bit more is washed away. All right? But here's the thing, you know, Adam Rishon, you know, so if he didn't have a Yetzer inside of him, you know, before, you know, the Chet Eitz Hadas, how did he succumb? How did it happen? There must have been some type of manifestation of evil that, you know, because there was an Eitz Hadas Tovara, there was some manifestation of it, you know, there was the evil as well, there was the Nachash, right, there were certain manifestations of evil, right, even before Chet Adam Rishon, and that's what he had to face off with, and he just made the problem worse by succumbing. And where did the original evil come from? So this is what Chazal talk about, was the Indian of the Miut Hayareach, right? That at the time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the luminaries that we measure time by, we, you know, we're on a lunisolar calendar. So at the time that he created, it says, okay, Meshnei Ma'oros HaGdolim, he made the two great luminaries. So first they're called Shnei Ma'oros HaGdolim. Then it's Hamora Gadol Lemem Shalsayom, Vamora Kotel Lemem Shalsayom. All of a sudden, then one of them became small. They're really both big. Also, one of them became small. So the Gemara tells us in the Chulin that, you know, the moon complained. You know, what's going to be the, you know, two kings cannot serve under one crown. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the moon, okay, l'chi mati esasvech, go mitigate yourself. Right? And, and the moon became smaller. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the Korban Musaf of every Rosh Chodesh, so it's Sirizim l'chatas l'Hashem. Right, one of the korbanot of the Musaf is a chatos, a sin offering. It says chatos l'Hashem, and the Gemara says, be read literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, Haviu lai kapara al shemi'at tiyaserach, atone for me for having mitigated the moon. So what that means is that the original manifestation of evil that there was, even before Chet Adam Rishon, and he made it a lot worse, well, it all comes from that miut hayareach. The very fact that the moon does not shine as brightly as the sun, and that's why it's dark at night, you know, as opposed to the way it is by day, that's what needs fixing in the world. That's the original thing that needed fixing. And so it's the fact that, you know, we compounded the problem with our bad deeds. But that was like the original thing. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, that needs fixing. And that's part of the one of the korbanos of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh is a chatas, right? A sin offering. That's something that needs fixing. You know, kapara al shemiyati yisayirech, right? Yes.
But that inherent problem was created by God. It was not.
That's right, and that's why exactly, and that's why.
Perfection.
That's right. And that's why it was so easy to fix. You know, all he had to do is not eat a piece of fruit for a few hours. You know, he ate it by the 10th hour of the day. And he had only been created 2 hours earlier. Right? That's why, you know, on paper, it was very easy to rectify the problem. And that's totally justifiable because it's not his problem. It shouldn't be so hard to fix. And now, after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, now it is his problem. As you say, you cooked it, you'll eat it, right? So now it is his problem. That's why the avoda became so much harder.
But you know, it's interesting because it's the same. Why couldn't you have the same luminaries? Because one had to be smaller than the other, and you couldn't have two of the same size.
No, that's right.
It was the same size to begin with.
It started that way, and then the moon was mitigated. And we're going to discuss that, because that's what a leap year is really all about. We understand when the moon got mitigated, two things happened. You know, aside from the fact that it shrunk, but that's why the lunar cycle is shorter. It's a smaller cycle than the solar cycle. Mm-hmm. That's all part of Miud HaYarech that we need to correct with the leap years. Right.
We get Sarah off the person before.
But look, Chava was enticed to eat the
right
fruit because of what the snake said to her. Because
right,
if you eat it, you can be
like God.
Also like a God.
Right.
So you could be equal. Like now you're smaller.
Right. That's right. That is correct. But let's talk about explain the how this was all set up by the mitigation of the moon. Now this is all right. It's something very interesting about the sun. That the solar cycle, Chazal already knew, the solar cycle is 365 days long, and Chazal Gemara Makkah says that's parallel to 365 lavin. The 365 negative commandments, perfectly parallel to 365 days of the solar cycle. And it's as if each day begs us, don't do an Avera on my day. Don't do an Avera on my day. Right. By the way, there is a certain science of setting up, understanding which lav is connected which day. I don't know it, but there is, the Chidush HaRim points out that the question is how it always works out, that the lav that's parallel to Rosh Hashanah is Bal Takif, not shaving off your payas. And that's why he says that's the reason for the minhag to bedavka get a haircut on Erev Rosh Hashanah, to accentuate that you're not going to do that Avera. Whatever. And he says the lav that comes out always roughly Shavuos time is Basar B'Cholav, and that's why on Shavuos we eat milchiks. All right, the minhag of eating milchiks correctly, they shouldn't cross over the flavor. You know how to cross over correctly, because that's the lav, is basar b'chalav. Okay, there's a way to work out, one lav per day on the solar cycle. Essentially, it means that the solar cycle is all about not doing wrong. Don't do wrong. Don't do an avera on my day. The 248 positive commandments must be parallel to the moon. Right, the lavin are parallel to the sun. Right, so that means even though the numerical parallel is in the Evorim, right, the Ramach Evorim, 248 organs, but they're not related to the sun. Ergo, they must be related to the moon. And we're going to explain this in a second. Right, you take a look. It's not the pshat that the sun shines brightly and therefore it is light during the day. That's not how it works. Right? At least that's how it works from the fourth day of creation onwards. But that's not really the pshat. The pshat is that the sun got an easy job, because the difference between day and night was set up already on the first day of creation by Ervay Boker. Right? Just the light wasn't contained by celestial bodies. So it was a supernatural light that later got condensed into the celestial bodies. So it says that there was Yom and Laila, right? And it says that Esamar Godo Lememsheles Hayom. I'm giving the big luminary to it'll be the governor of the day. Vesamar Ora Kotin Lememsheles Halaila. Right? The sun got appointed. Day and night there always was since the first day of creation. The sun got the ministry. He got he became governor of the day, which was anyway the light time, right? And the moon got the dark time. The moon got the night. The moon got the night and the sun got the day. It's not the pshat, right, that the day is so bright because the sun shines brightly. There was daytime was always light time. And then the sun got the job, right, to be the governor and the light provider of the light time that was already designated, was already set up. Right? The moon got the job of giving light at night. Because day and night was set up already. Day and night, the 24-hour day period was already from the first day of creation. It was Vayera Vayboker, from the creation of light itself. Then on the fourth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the celestial bodies to the sun got the daytime. That's what the pasuk says. The sun got, according to the, there's a daytime, nighttime. I'm giving the daytime to the sun, and I'm giving the nighttime to the moon, right? And then, you know, the light got, you know, condensed into the celestial bodies. It stopped being free-floating, it got condensed. But it's not the pshat, you know, daytime is light because the sun shines so brightly. Daytime was always light. It was always the period of light. The sun got that job. The sun got that turf.
This, and right? Did it happen that the illumination got cut, that the moon became
right.
smaller?
Right, so it all happened all at the same time when Akash Baruch gave the night to one and the day to the other. Right, the night to one and the day to the other, that's when the moon got mitigated. Uh-huh. Right, so immediately at the time of the mitigation. Right, it all happens at the same time. When Akash Baruch divided up, you know, sun and moon, one takes the light time, one takes the dark time, that's when the moon got mitigated. And that's why, you know, that's why it's dark at night. It's Betzim, the dark period, and the moon got mitigated, so it, you know, it cannot light up the dark time. The sun got the time that was already light. It got that turf. It got that half of the 24 hours. Right? That's what was given to it. Right? Which means like this, you know, the sun got an easy job. To give light to a time period that was always light, always meant to be light. So even though the mechanics changed, that the light that was at that time period got condensed into the sun, but that's the pshat. This was the light time. It got the day. It was given the day, right? And then the light of day was condensed into the sun, right? The moon got the night.
In the beginning, was it light all the time?
No, it was half light, half night.
Yeah.
From the first day, it was Vayera Vayiboker.
What happened to the celestial light when it became dark?
Excuse me?
What happened to the celestial light when it became dark?
There were no celestial bodies till the fourth day.
Right.
And then when he created it, so what he did was, you know, the light of the period got condensed, compressed into the celestial bodies. But you know, the sun got the day, which was it got the day. You said it governs the day. It got the light time. The moon got the dark time. All right, that's how you know. Which means like this: the sun is not doing any chiddush. It got the time that was light anyway, and that's the secret. What we read in Kos: Ein chadash tachas haShemesh. The sun is not making any chiddush. That time was light already, even before the sun came on the scene. It's not being mechadish anything. Not doing nothing new. It's just keeping it going the way it was. Right? Who's doing a chiddush? The moon. It's bringing light to the dark side of things. That's a chiddush. That means ein chodesh tachas haShemesh. Because that time, that half of the day was always light. Right? Just now, we just condensed that light into the sun. Right? So, ein chodesh tachas haShemesh is not doing anything new. Right? The moon is doing something new. That's a chiddush. Right? It is dissolving the darkness. Right? And what that means to us, you know, what it means to us is like, well, we learned this in Derech Hashem. The fact that, you know, since the beginning of creation, right, since the first day, there's a half light period and half dark period that creates a certain cosmic balance. The light representing everything that's pure, right, and the dark representing everything that's impure, and it's exactly 50-50. So even when the days get longer, but that's compensated for in the opposite season when the nights get longer, so it averages out exactly the same. And that's why Bechira, free will, is exactly a 50-50 choice. Right, because you're not more weighted to one side than to the other, because on the annual cycle you'll see that the light and dark had equal time. Right, and that's why free will is exactly a 50-50 choice. You're not more weighted to one side than the other. At least that's the way it was in Eden. Right, when that, you know, that's the way it was in Eden. Right, Adam had exactly a 50-50 choice, you know, about succumbing to the Nachash or not. Right, but the moon is the one that now is coming really to change the cosmic balance, to bring light to the dark side, right? And that's really, that's what's called tikkun. Tikkun is, you know, that we don't want it to be a world of 50-50, you know, it's a world of 50-50 as a challenge, right? We want to move everything that should be 100% light, and there should be no evil in the world whatsoever. And that's why the prophets say, in the future, v'haya or levana korachama. Right, the moon is destined to shine as brightly as the sun, the way it was at the first instant when it was created. Right, I mean, that's called tikkun. That's called living in a world which is 100% good and no bad whatsoever. Right, that 50% dark is totally illuminated by the moon, and when it will shine as brightly as the sun, there just won't be evil in the world because the dark side of the world will be lit up. Right. And that's the mission of the Jewish people. That's why our calendar is primarily moon-based, right? And Am Yisrael is also Nimshol LaKochavim. We're likened to the stars. All these things that light up the night, right? Because that's the chiddush that we bring to the world. We're coming here to change the cosmic balance, and to gradually remove evil from the world. Right? So now, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did by mitigating the moon is that, you know, he made things harder. So now, the Ramchal writes in the Das Funas that this mitigation of the moon, you know, in the individual represents something that we learned in Derech Hashem. Just in Derech Hashem, he didn't connect it to the mitigation of the moon. We learned in Derech Hashem. Our neshama is mitigated before it enters the body. Because if we learned this, that because if the neshama would enter the body with full force, man would be purified like that. You wouldn't need mitzvahs. The neshama would elevate the body on the spot, right? Right, and you know how it's going to work that way by the resurrection, by tchias hamesim, and this was all in Derech Hashem. We learned this, right? By tchias hamesim, when the soul will re-enter the body, it will re-enter totally unmitigated, unfettered, plus with the power of mitzvahs. And that's why people are going to, after they get out of the grave, will rapidly metamorphose, be a rapid metamorphosis, that people quickly will go, evolve, for lack of a better word, from physical to spiritual creatures in a very short amount of time, right? With no mitzvahs required, right? The neshama will do the job all by itself, right? But, you know, the mitigation of the moon represented mitigating the power of the neshama. The neshama just can't light up the body, right, without the power of mitzvahs, right? And that's the inyan of why, the psukim refer to, the neshama as a candle. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. It refers to mitzvahs as candles. Ki ner mitzvah, v'torah or. When do you need a candle? At night. As the Gemara says, shraga batira mayahanya, a candle by daytime is useless. It's worthless. It's meaningless. You know, you have the sun out. We need a candle for, right? So the neshama is called a candle, and mitzvahs are called candles, because the neshama was mitigated, can't do the job without the aid of mitzvahs, right? Right. So now So the moon comes to innovate, right? And that's the role of the mitzvos asay, the positive commandments, right? We said the sun is connected to the negative commandments. We're going to explain that in a second, right? We said if the sun is connected to the negative commandments, that's why it's 365 days in the solar cycle. Connected 365 los asays, ergo the mitzvos asay must have to do with the moon, right? Because the function of the mitzvos asay is indeed for this purpose of bringing new light to the world. Bring new light to the world. And this explains the halacha that under certain criteria, asay doche los asay. Right, for instance, back when we had tcheles in the tzitzis, tcheles must be wool, must be. You know, it cannot, the white of the tzitzis could be the same fiber as the beged. The blue string must be wool. And so therefore, if you have a pishton, you have a linen beged, asay doche los asay, the mitzvah asay of putting tcheles, overrides the los asay of shatnez. right? As an example, that's like the textbook example of Asado Chilose, but there's criteria how to, you know, there's no other way to do it. If you could avoid that conflict, then you avoid that conflict, but there is no other way. Tchelos must be wool, right? Tchelos must be wool. There's no, it cannot be made out of linen, right? So the Sfarim explained, the Ramban explains, because you know what a lo sase is all about? A lo sase is just don't ruin the order. You know, there's something, we got something good going, don't ruin it. Don't ruin it. That's what lo sase is, to ruin things, right? The ase is on a higher level, right? It brings something new to the world, right? It brings a new light to the world, right? So the sun got the easy job. The sun rains during the time that's light anyway. So the sun just says, don't ruin anything. Don't do an avera, right? So ein chodesh tachas hashemesh, but you could ruin what you have. And that's why the sun begs you, don't do an avera on any one of my days. There are 65 days. Don't ruin. We got a good thing going. Don't ruin it. Right? Like, don't ruin it. We got a good thing going, but there's nothing new either. It's just the, it's the regular order. Let's not ruin the order. You know, ein chodesh tachas hashemesh, but there could be change. You know, people should realize that chadash and shoneh are not synonyms. Right? There's, chadash is something. It's a spiritual idea that there's a new energy that there never was before. Yeah, but shoneh, you could take something and rehash it or ruin it, make a shinui, right? And that's what the sun tries to just maintain the order. The inyan of the mitzvah lo sase is to keep the order. Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it, because strong and as consistent as the solar cycle is, solar calendar needs to be updated something like once in 1,000 years. Needs to be adjusted. I read. So amazingly, consistent, right? Consistent. Yeah, but all that consistency, could be ruined. It could be ruined. So even if it, ain't chodesh, but doesn't mean ain't shone. It could change. Things could change. Things. The laws that make the weather, they haven't changed, right? But the weather does change, right? So, right, to make sure not to ruin anything. Right? Now it goes a little bit deeper than that, right? That the something that runs, on automatic pilot, so to speak. So it has the mile of consistency, but it's deaf, dumb, and stupid. Right, because something that runs like on a automatic cycle, as much as it's dependable, it has no das. Right, what's like that? That's a habit. So now the what if one thing is slightly different? All that consistency is worthless. Right, the Gemara says that if Torah would have not been given. Right, we could have learned the issur of not stealing from ants, right? Because Chazal observed, right, that if an ant touches a crumb, no other ant will touch it. Right? So here's the question, right? Try this experiment at home. Put some crumbs on your counter and announce that you're makbid, you're not mafkir those crumbs, you're maintaining full rights to those crumbs. The ants will eat it. They don't steal from each other, but they steal from me. Because they don't have the idea of gezel as a moral as a moral decision. It's a habit. It's a good habit that we could have learned from, but it's only a habit. A habit is only as good as if all the criteria are exactly the same. One thing's different, the habit's worthless. Because the habit is not a moral choice. So yeah, it just holds as long as it holds. That's the problem being frum by habit. Right, as it could last for hundreds of years, but one thing's different. Neighbor that explained to me was from the Iraqi community in India, that later immigrated to England. And he said that in India, when you're coming from Iraq to India, they had strong kehillahs. They stayed frum for about 100 years, something like that. Even without any real Jewish education, right? But then they moved to England. They dropped everything. He said, and he gave me a mashal, which really stuck with me. So, if you have a closet, clothes closet, if you don't move it, it could last for hundreds of years. Just if it stays in its exact same place, it could last for hundreds of years. right? You know, the old closet doesn't survive the transition, right? Right? Yeah. So when as long as they're in the same place, you could hold on to the same habits. One thing changes, the habit no longer is binding. Right? You know, and that's the problem with being frum for a habit, right? You know, it could be a good habit. If one thing changes, the whole thing is lost. Just one, the habit's only so good as all the criteria are exactly the same. Right? And yeah, that's the problem with the consistency of the sun. It represents, the body, you know, because, you know, daytime is work time. You know, Yetzer Adam so Ade Orif. We work, it's the time of work, you know, it's a time of the body, you know, when we're active, you know, at night you're supposed to be resting. The body is a creature of habit, right? And habits, you know, are only as good if the criteria are exactly the same. You know, that's why people go to the military, you know, and they acquire good habits of like waking up early and this and that. They leave the military, it's gone like that. I lived in Israel, I know. All the kids go to the military. That doesn't, it's because for 3 years straight, the criteria changed. You know, so the habit, if it's just a habit and it's not adopted as a dea, as a moral value, it's not going to stick. It's not going to stick. Right? You know, and that's, you know, but so habit, good habits need to maintain, don't ruin it. But there's no, and that's what's called, that's part of Ein Chodosh Tachas HaShemesh, right? It's got no soul. Because Chodosh, you know, is something spiritual, right? You know, well, you know, the concept of new that we talk about, like which is what the moon is, represents. Hachodesh Hazel Achem Rosh Chodeshim. That's why it's called, you know, the lunar cycle is called a Chodesh. Yoshim Chodesh, right? It's a new spiritual energy. It's a revitalization, right? That's something spiritual. That's something spiritual, right? And that's what the moon represents. So that's Am Yisrael's mission, and that's what it says. You know, Rosh Hashanah, you know, it comes out on Rosh Chodesh. So Chazal note that Rosh Hashanah is on Rosh Chodesh, and our Kosher tells us Chachu Maaseichem. Renew your deeds. How do we renew? You have to fix your deeds. Renew. No, it means add some soul in it. Put some, infuse it. It shouldn't be a habit. That's chachu ma'aseichem. Renew it. It shouldn't be out of habit. No? Habits are consistent, but they have no soul. And because they have no soul and they have no conscience, if one thing changes, it all goes to pot. So now the idea that that the moon is smaller, right, and therefore it doesn't fully dispel the darkness, right? That's why there's the Yetzer Hara to contend with, and from that mitigation of the moon came the Nachash, the Yetzer Hadas, everything that Adam Rishon had to face off for before the sin, all came from that mitigation of the moon. That's where it came from. Right? But there's another thing we said. Because the moon is smaller, it also has a smaller cycle. It runs ahead by 10 days, right? Which it's a denote, that's Gematria Shana. Shana, 355. That's exactly the amount of day, you know, exact in the lunar cycle. Shana, Shin Nun He, 355. The solar cycle is 365, right? It runs ahead by 10 days. You know, so what does that represent to human situation? That your mind and where you want, what you want to do, is far ahead of what you actually do. Right? It's far ahead. You know, we want to do a lot. We want to do the right thing. We really want to do the right thing. But you know, where our mind and heart is, you know, is far 10 days ahead. You know, of where our actions are. And that's the great cosmic problem, right? That the world of what we actually do with our arms and legs, our outer world lags behind, you know, where our intentions, good intentions are. And that's what Chazal said, Gemara Brachos, Ribono Shel Olam, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzon. We do want to do it. Umi Ma'ake, who gets in the middle, you know, gets Sor Shibis, Sor Shiba Malchus, the Eitzahara, the Golus gets in, you know, gets in the middle. And it is a problem that even Adam had faced off with, right? That, you know, as much as, you know, he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, must be telling the truth, that to eat from the tree would be bad. It would be bad for him also. He knew it on some level, right? But, you know, the performance and carrying out the values that you know deep, deep down, you know, that lags behind. And it's in that lag time. That lag time is, that was his Yetzer Hara, that lag time. Right? He had to follow through, and he had to, you know, in his case, he had to out-debate. He had to out-debate the serpent. He had to out-argue him. He said, no, you got to be wrong. It can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's invincible, he can't be afraid of me eating from that tree. It can't be. It must be for my own benefit. But, you know, that, so it's like a point to note that this, the lag time between the Ratzon and the Maisa is, you know, that lag time is even in the consciousness. There's a very big difference between what you know deep, deep down, and then the ideas that are, you know, on the screen of your consciousness, because the ideas that are on the screen of your consciousness are influenced by your body. You have to remember, the biochemical brain is a part of the body. And that's part of what the lag time is also in the cognitive process. That's why Chazal have warned us, Hevei Mesunim Bedin. You know, don't be. You have to sit on it before you mete out judgment. So Chazal say, yeah. The Maral explains, there's lag time in the physical brain. The physical brain is part of the body. You know, it's there's what you know. Let's say at the core of your being, you know, correct ideas. It takes time. There's lag time that also you're in your cognitive process, right? Brain being a part of the body, right? That's where this lag time. That's why don't be quick to judge, because it could be, you know, your cognitive process. You know, you're not really up to speed yet, right? And that was Otto's right. He was overwhelmed by the arguments that the state was posing. He needed to, you know, wait and think this through. Right. So the lag time that we're talking about of doing, that also is a certain, a large, the consciousness, you know, is a part of that lag time. Right. And when we talk about that deep down, we're talking about very deep, very, like a very, very deep, deep chip in the consciousness. I'm not saying that's in the forefront of the consciousness. It's what, you know, the Rambam says, that, you know, I'm not endorsing cattle prodding, husbands, but the... you know, in halacha, it works. You know, a guy who's refused to give a get, and the Beis Din paskin on him kfiya, right, that he must give the get, you know, so they're allowed to, you know, not allowed to, they have the privilege of cattle prodding him, kofin oso ad sheyomar rotzani. They force him until he says, okay, I'll give it. So the obvious question is, well, it's given by duress. It's obviously, it's a farce. So the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin addresses the issue and says, well, it's like this. It's, you know, he says that he doesn't want to. He says he doesn't want to. Deep down, he wants to do whatever the Torah says. You know, just the Yetzer gets in the way. And we got to help him get past that. And, you know, and back in those days, the cattle prod was a good way of doing it. Right? But there's a guy who's screaming, you know, he doesn't want to divorce his wife, does not want to give together, right? He's amazed, it's intentional, but that means there's different levels of consciousness. There's, you know, there's what you really want deep, deep down, and then there's you say you want, but it's really the part of the brain that goes with the doing of your arms and legs. It's, you know, the part of the brain that's subject to the lag time, right? So sometimes a person could think it through. Sometimes we need to cattle prod and just to, you know, get to what's, you know, hidden deep, deep down. You know, Adam's whole test was he needed to take a pause and think this through. He didn't. You know, within 1 hour, he ate from the tree. Right? And that's all rooted in this, in the imbalance, you know, between the it's shorish in the cosmos, is the fact that the moon runs ahead of the sun by 10 days. That's where it all comes from. That's what created it. Created the whole issue. Created the whole cosmic problem.
The intention originally wasn't that the both of them would be the same size.
Right. So now the reason why.
How do you explain that God change his original planning, like imperfect, and he influenced the man and everything at the negation of the moon.
It wasn't imperfect because man sinned. At that point, man didn't.
Yeah, but man wasn't even there.
This was part of the plan.
To challenge us. But why do you have to start off the same size? Because here's the thing. Right, if the moon, the Ramchal addresses this in one of his Svarim, right? If the moon would have been small by inception, then why should it be big? Why should it be? Why should you be able to overcome? The fact that it started off big means you have that power. There's residual power from that original state of perfection that you could draw on to overcome. But if the moon would be from inception something small, it is what it is. So it's a fight that you can't win. But no, since it be'etzem was big and mitigated, and what that means is that he's right, sis. Therefore, we, in our neshama, if the neshama would be milchatchila small, there's no reason why the neshama could overcome the body. It is. The neshama is not strong enough. No, it started off big, and then, so you have something in you of your innate bigness that even though you were mitigated, you could draw on that strength, and that's how you overcome the body. But you wouldn't have the power to overcome if that was the size you always were and that's all you are. It created the potential. Being created initially big, and that means you have the potential to win. You have the potential, right?
On the other hand, if there wasn't the imperfection to begin with, then man also would have been in a state that was perfect and wouldn't have sinned as well.
That's right. But we're supposed to be in that challenge.
It wouldn't be maybe man.
But we had to be challenged. We had to be challenged.
How would you have a free choice?
Right? We have to be challenged. We had, so it was mitigated to give us challenge, to give us work. Right? But we wouldn't win. It would be an unfair fight, unless we have the power. So that's why initially big and then mitigated. And same thing with the neshama. When it's originally created, it's a very powerful being, and it's mitigated at the time of conception when it's put in. Right, but the innate bigness is what gives you the power to win. Right, right. So as we said, the 10 days, that is the difference, between the lunar cycle and the solar cycle. So even before the Vilnagon, all the Svarim point out an amazing thing. Right, it's now 5779 on the lunar cycle, because it came in with Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah. The solar cycle lags 10 days behind. So when on the solar cycle will be 5779, on Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur is when it catches up, and that's the big day of Kapara, equalization, catch up. Right, and during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the whole avoda is to work on bridging that gap. Right, which is really the gap between our neshama and our body, our rotzon and our maisa. But rotzon talks about it's really embedded deep down, and that's what the shofar is about. Rosh Hashanah, which ushers in the new year, so everyone knows the famous Ram. The shofar is a wake up call. Wake up. Well, what's the wake up? I'm awake. No, I mean, wake up the core of the personality. That type of thing that, in certain conditions brought out by the cattle prods, right? Is what the shofar is supposed to awaken. Your inner rotzen, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to hear sorry. He doesn't want... It's an amazing thing. We're on Tron Rosh Hashanah, and we don't say sorry in Rosh Hashanah. I think we spoke about it some previous years. It's an amazing thing. No vidui in Rosh Hashanah, and this is the day you're on trial. Why is it? Right? Because sorry has to mean something. You have to be sincere in your sorry, right? So it's the day of wake up that we want to awaken our inner rotzen that's even buried beneath the consciousness. That's what's called wake up. Wake up. Wake up the subconscious. The ritzoneinu lasos ritzoncha, it's buried very, very deep because the cognitive process is a part of the body that lags behind. The consciousness, the biochemical, is a part of the body that lags behind. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, we have to wake up that inner rotzen. That's what the shofar is there to awaken. Right? And when we awaken that inner rotzen, then sorry means something. We say sorry as a reflex. We say sorry out of habit. When you bump into a pole, you also say sorry. Right? Right? It happens. I do it all the time. But it's not. Right? Sorry is like a reflex. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. You know, the sorry that Kosher wants to hear is that it's coming from the real you. That really, which is buried very deep in the subconscious. That's what the shofar is coming to awaken. And then after we awaken it, now we have to, like, get the body to catch up. The body that's represented by the solar cycle that lags behind. Right? That's what we do during the Aser Simei Tshuva. Catch up. Right? And on Yom Kippur is where the two cycles meet. And that's the equalization. And that's called Kapara. That's called Kapara. Because fuse the two, right? Fuse the two. So and I understand why the big tikkun of a leap year, the big tikkun of a leap year of equalizing the lunar and the solar cycle, and that's what the Vilna Gaon was saying. Adar Sheni is we're zochet to Adar Sheni after three sets of Aser Simei Tshuva. After you have a chazaka of Aser Simei Tshuva. It's an amazing thing, right? Because the tremendous cosmic significance of equalizing the two cycles is like mamash, closing the gap between the Rotzen and the Maisa, closing the gap of the inequality between the moon and the sun, right? The world of habit and the world of conscious and values and everything that we're doing to dispel darkness, to that cosmic unity. And that's why during this leap year, we add Ula Kaporas Pesha. There's an added form of fixing of the world, akin to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Havu like Kapora al Shemi'atati Esayarech. Hashem says, the Korban Musaf is Chatas La Hashem, Kapora al Shemi'atati Esayarech. That's why during the first 6 months of the leap year, say Ula Kaporas Pesha. It's an extension of the power that we bring out on every Rosh Chodesh. It's amplified. Of to be mechaper al miut hayareach. And that's why you only say it until Nisan. You don't have to say it after Nisan, because it's been equalized already. The disbalance is set right by Adar Sheni. And that's why you stop saying it from Nisan. You only say it for half a year. You made the tikkun already, because Adar Sheni equalized. Right?
Something related, I was just reading this week, like on Yom Kippur you say Gola Amukos Badin, and there's a connotation that everybody really in their depth wants to do the right thing.
Correct.
And that's what we're asking God to like kind of bring out that, the depths of where you really,
that's correct.
Even like the worst person has some piece of them that wants to.
Correct. And with this we go back to our opening question, Kol Nidre, right? So, the din of Hatar Sidram, the legal mechanism of it, is that, even though a person, consciously made a neder or a shvua, right? So the mechanism of Hataras Nedarim is that, the Beis Din asked, and if you would have known this, this, and this, would you have still made the neder? I said, no, if I would have known that, not. In Hataras Nedarim, that we say, it's built in that I was not mindful of the fact, at the time when I made my net, I was not mindful of the fact that, it would have been the wrong thing to do because, because then I put myself up to the jeopardy of being guilty of not fulfilling Nedarim, and I'm Mitcharet Shlos Amarti Bli Neder. So in the Nusach that is presented, it's all built in already, that a person is saying, if I would have been mindful that making Nedarim is a bad thing at the time when I made it, I would have never made the Neder. So I'm saying, like, there's, even though you made the neder on purpose, but there's certain things that, I wasn't aware of if I only, and therefore we retroactively convert the neder into a mistake, into made under mistaken pretenses. Because it's something that, if you would have only known, you would have never made the neder, right? So the Ramchal writes, without even mentioning that we do Kol Nidre, on Yom Kippur, and the Mesillas Yesharim just mentions by the wayside the tremendous chesed of tshuva, that just with regretting the chet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolves the chet, like Hataras Nedarim. Those are his words. Like Hataras Nedarim. Tshuva works on the same principle as Hataras Nedarim. Right? It wasn't the real me. Even a chet done b'mezid, like a person made a neder b'mezid. He wasn't asleep, wasn't drunk when he made the neder. He was perfectly conscious. You say, there's conscious and there's you know, full consciousness. I wasn't fully conscious. Certain idea, certain factors I was unaware of that if I would have known them, I would have never made the neder, and it washes. We say, so even though you made the neder mindfully, that's not your real mindfulness, right? Because there's additional information that if you have only been aware of, you have never done it in the first place, right? So it means you were thinking, but you weren't thinking totally, right? And that's how tshuva works also. Why does tshuva work? Right? Because even though on a chet you did it, b'mezid, all right? It's not, you did it intentionally, right? But it wasn't my real intention, right? You know, deep down, you know, there I have, you know, I had ritzonas that were buried, under a whole pile of garbage, right? Buried, and that's my real rotzen. And so it comes out that tshuva and ataras nedarim work on the same legal mechanism. It's your real rotzen. Your real rotzen was only to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. What you really wanted, you didn't really, really want the neder. And that's why, that's the secret that we do, Kol Nidre, with the opening of Yom Kippur. Works on the same legal principle.
And why do we have to do Bitzibur?
What?
Why do we have to do Bitzibur?
Yeah, so Bitzibur adds power to it. But that's part of it. That it works on the same idea. It works on the same idea. But on Rosh Hashanah we awaken that consciousness. Right? What we are working on during Yasser and Mei Tshuva is to bridge that awakened deep consciousness, to bridge it with our world of activity. Which includes bridging it with our regular biochemical consciousness, which is part of. And by Yom Kippur, we are expected that everything caught up to speed. Everything caught up to speed, right? And because everything caught up to speed, right? That's why the body and soul are in sync on Yom Kippur. Except that, the way we're in sync is that the body goes to the neshama, right? The body acts like the neshama. Doesn't eat, doesn't drink. We're like angels, right? We put the two in sync. We've closed the gap between them. Right. It's called that the sun has caught up to the moon. Right? The interesting thing is, because the body goes to the soul, and that's reflected in the avodah of Yom HaKippurim, right? That you're not allowed to go into Kodesh HaKadosh, even a Kohen Gadol can't go into Kodesh HaKadoshim all year round. Right? But Bezos Yavar HaKadosh, on Yom Kippur, he goes in with his body. Right, so the Gemara asks, it says, Chodam loya, there should be no person, in all moid at any time, right? So Aaron's a person. How does he go in? So the Yerushalmi answers, well, on Yom Kippur he's not a person anymore. Now he's a malach, mm-hmm. Right? Because the body caught up to the soul, and that's why you could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's all called that the body goes to the soul, right? Because we've closed the gap between them. On Yom Kippur is the 10th day where the two cycles meet, right? And now that's the Inyan, seriously. I'm not, it's the Radziner rites. That's why we eat on Erev Yom Kippur. It's not just the idea of Tzeda L'derech, you got to eat for the long trip, right? But it's the whole idea of bringing our physical to the spiritual. That's why you should not go into Yom Kippur empty stomach. It's all about bringing the physical to the spiritual because we've closed the gap. Right, what's the converse? It's the inverse, but it's the same idea. Purim, an amazing thing to think about. Right, that's Kayadua, the famous Zohar, that Yom Kippurim is Yom Kippurim. Right, so now, especially in a year like this, Purim, we is in the second Adar, right, the halfway through. So we had the whole Adar Rishon, right. 2 weeks of Adar Sheni, it's roughly equalized. During this year, you make the chesed. It's roughly by that time, it's roughly equalized, right? We have to be equalized before Nisan comes in, right? Right, which is that's the big tikkun of Purim, just like on. On Yom Kippur, we vanquished the Yetzirah, right? There's no Yetzirah in the world, and that's what the Gemara says again, alluding to the solar cycle. Ha Satan. Gemara says 364. Ha Satan 364. So the Gemara says, but there are 365 days in the solar cycle. solar cycle. So the Gemara says there's one day the sun doesn't work, Yom Kippur. Again, if it gives Yom Kippur, it's the solar cycle catching up. Sun doesn't work a day. He doesn't get in between, and the solar cycle could catch up with the lunar cycle. And it's called that our body could catch up with our soul. All right? But when the body catches up with the soul, that time, that half of the calendar, so when the two are in sync, so the body goes to the soul. Right? On Purim, which is also the same idea, right? And that's, and by Purim, you know, on this year, roughly, you know, the equalization will have been attained roughly at that time, just 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? And so there's equalization, right? And over there, the soul goes to the body. Now they're in sync.
Yeah.
They're in sync. Except this time, because they're in sync, now the soul goes to the body. Right? And that's why, you know, the way you prepare for Purim is with a tinus. The way you prepare for Yom Kippur is by eating. Right? And then, you know, and then you bring that all to the soul. Right? The way you prepare for Purim is by fasting, tinus Esther, liberating the soul, and then the soul goes to the body. On Purim. And it's because that's same equalization. On this day, they're in sync. They're in sync. On Yom Kippur's body could go to the soul. Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur, the body goes to the soul. On Purim, the soul goes to the body. Right? But this is the avoda. This is the avoda during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, is working on bridging. You know, bridging. The Ratzon with the Maisa, which is a connected bridging the moon with the sun. And after we've done this 3 years in a row, we're zochet to Adar Sheni, and there's a grand, you know, it happens on a much bigger, higher cosmic level. This year is a very big year. That's why the Kapor is Pesha, right? There's greater Kapor, there's greater Tikkun in this year than in a regular year, than Shana Pshuta, right? And we're zochet that after three sets of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, they make up the 30 days of Adar Sheni, right? Just one more thing to point out. I think we mentioned this in previous years about, you know, again, the power of Aseres Yemei Tshuva is also connected to this idea that since, you know, like we said, the lunar cycle is Shana, Shin Nun Hei, 355, right? But there are 365 days in the solar year. That means that, you know, it's not next year yet. It's not 5779 yet on the solar cycle until Yom Kippur. That's the day when they catch up. That's called the unification, where body meets soul. That's the catch-up day, and that's the kapara. And so Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a neutral zone. It's not last year. It's not next year fully. It's only, so this, all the svarim say that during the 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, it's really, you're reviewing last year. It's a chance to get last year right. Right, it's the 10 extra days between, you know, the difference between the two cycles. So where does that time come from, since the two cycles are not in the same year? It's only 5779 on the lunar cycle, which is 10 days ahead. Right? So these 10 days of Aseres Yemei Tshuva are a twilight zone between the 2 years. And that's why you have a chance to fix all of last year. That's why it's a very unique opportunity. It's called Aseres Yemei Tshuva per se. Yeah, that this is the time to fix last year before last year gets permanently stored away, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores all time. It's like, this is the time to get it all right. This is the time that you make up for all your mistakes. It's the time for not closing the gaps just from moving forward. It's a time to close the gaps, all the gaps in your life from last year. That's what the Aseres Yemei Tshuva are, to put it all right before that time gets stored away permanently, before Yom Kippur. All right, Rosh Chodesh, we'll do the catch up, and you know, we'll all be zochet to a Gemar Chasima Teva.
Somebody at work asked me that it's not religious person. His son was thinking about it. It's what happens if someone dies during Aseres Yemei Tshuva.
Although the Maharal says that the idea of Tzom Gedalia, that he died during Aseres Yemei Tshuva, is that Tshuva, to be shav, go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Death is a type of tshuva. To go back. Go back to your father's house. All right, so death is also a form of tshuva.